we will start with our worship service, and Paul is going to help me this morning. I've never seen or used this worship service before. And so if I get lost a little bit, bear with me. And as I've said a couple of times this morning, we're going to do well. We all came here to worship today, and that part of it we will get done. And if the liturgy happens a little slow on my part, I ask your forbearance. We will begin then with the singing of the invocation song. We will continue now with the confession. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant or son. Sometimes I hate. Sometimes I lie. Sometimes I waste. Sometimes I cheat.
We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the service of your son. Sometimes I am selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am deceptive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the service of your son.
We will continue now with the singing of the Kyrie Eleison, Song of Mercy.
The world that you're in, you're in as you
continue now with the song of praise. I think. Gracious Lord, we are a chosen people, but sometimes we don't feel like anyone chooses us. Sometimes we feel our best friends and our family don't even know us. It seems the pressures of the world are too much for one person alone. Help us to remember, Lord, that each of us is specially chosen to be part of your family, to follow in the footsteps that Jesus walked. And though the road may be difficult, help us today to feel the presence of your Spirit, holding us forever in your family. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them, so I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read today Psalm 23 responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord is to lie down in your pastures, and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff have comforted me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and
The second reading is from the second chapter of Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, and he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As soon as he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Here ends the reading of the Holy Gospel for today.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have come here today to to worship you with prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And we ask your presence with us as we do so. The world that we live in is challenging, as you well know. And the way through is with you. Help all the people who suffer. Help all the people who are fighting floods and fires. Help all of the people who have been hurt and killed in the collapse of the condominium in Miami. Everywhere we look, there is hurt. Even when we look into our own hearts, we find it there. You are the healer. All we need to do is touch the garment that you wear, and we will be made well. We thank you for these words this morning that were recorded for us. And we lift our hearts at this time because we want to give you thanks and glory. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen. Now this morning, I may deviate a little bit, but not much, because I was so happy to see that song that we were going to read responsibly. I don't get to use that song very often. Well, more often than I'd like. Most of the time I use it at funerals. And I know that you've all been to funerals. Pretty sure the pastor has read the 23rd Psalm. And after all, that song, the 23rd Psalm, has become a foundational moment for the Christian church. It was written long before Jesus was born, but David sure must have had him in mind when he laid out those words. Now, I've had a lot of time this past year at home, and I've been able to do some digging and some reading, and this morning I want to share a little bit of that with you. This book that I have in my hand, it says it's the Bay Psalm Book. And it was imprinted in the year 1640 by the people that settled the Massachusetts Bay Colony. When they came here under the guidance of John Winthrop, he brought with him some people who were scholars who hadn't made it so good in the Church of England or at Oxford University, but they were really brilliant. And they came with John Winthrop, and when they got to this land, the first thing they did was to create a university. That was in 1636. And the university was there for one reason: to make sure that the pastors that were going out into the field knew what they were doing. You know what the name of that school was? Harvard University. And it's still there today, and it's still doing real well. That was important to them, though. They wanted to share the faith. And the second thing, then, that they did was this book. Those scholars that John Winthrop brought with him, they retranslated from Hebrew into English the whole book of Psalms. And then what they did was put it in English meter. And they did that because this book was their hymnal. It was their hymnal. These psalms, they realized, were written to be sung. And so, that was their hymn book in what became known as the Puritan churches. Now, they weren't excited about Martin Luther. for more than one reason. But one of them was that he wrote hymns. And those people didn't think that was a good idea because they already had the hymns. This is it's a facsimile of the whole book with all of its blotches and stains and everything. It took a picture of every single page of this book, including the cover, and put it together. And I don't know where I found it, but I'm real happy I did. And somebody else was happy too. This went through Sotheby's sometime back, the original copy. It brought $14.2 million. And this book was used from the year 1640 up through the 18th century. That's how popular this book was. And today, I want to read you the 23rd Psalm, as written in meter to be sung. And I think it's just beautiful. The Lord to me a shepherd is. Want, therefore, shall not I. He in the fields of tender grass doth cause me down to lie. To waters calm me gently leads, restores my soul doth he. He doth in paths of righteousness, for his name's sake leadeth me. Yea, though in valley of death's shade I walk, none ill I'll fear, because thou art with me. Thy rod and staff my comfort are. For me a table thou hast spread in the presence of my foes. Thou dost anoint my head with oil, my cup it overflows. Goodness and mercy surely shall all my days follow me, and in the Lord's house I shall dwell for as long as days shall be. They didn't change a thought. They changed a few words, put them in a different order so it could be sung. As I said earlier, the 23rd Psalm is foundational to the Christian church. It wasn't words of Jesus that he spoke. Wasn't words of the apostles that they spoke and wrote down. These words were written long before that. But what they bring about is this. You know, the book of John, prologue, the 18th verse in the prologue of chapter 1, says that no one has ever seen God, but his Son, he has made him known. And that's what we have here. That's what we have here. When David wrote that psalm, he was thinking about God, the Creator. And who knows, maybe it was prescient. Maybe he saw Jesus on the horizon. I don't know. But what the church has known, and what I know, and why I use this at every funeral that I have, is that Jesus is the person talked about as Lord in that song. And there is so much in that song. So many things to think about. That one passage in itself is enough to meet us where we are. Whether we're having problems at home, problems in the community, problems in the world, problems with our health, it meets us and stops us. And Jesus reminds us to look at him in this. Because there you find the heart of God. What do you find in there? Find a shepherd. He's taking care of his flock. You find a shepherd providing green grass and still waters, providing for his own. And you find a shepherd who stands by on guard to see that nothing evil happens to his sheep. All of those you find. But today, as we take this time out to worship today, the thing I'd like to draw our attention to is the one passage where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the deep valley of the shadow of death, no ill I will feel." And that passage to me comes right to us wherever we are, and it reminds us of one thing. Last week, we talked about the healing powers of Jesus. But this week, what this is about, what this lesson about, and what Jesus is about is this. That whatever is going on in our country, in our world, in our lives, this is the thing that we can have confidence in and remember. That whatever it is, Jesus is there with us. And to me, that makes all the difference. Whatever happens, and I hope not to be put to the test and the trial, but whatever happens, I want to remember this. I never walk alone. He is always there with me. And that gives me a kind of courage and confidence and hope. Because the world is strange right now. We're going through some things that we haven't seen before in a lot of ways. And we have somehow to dig within ourselves, take with us the words of our Lord, and make sense of what's going on. Now, this is a good time. We come to worship this morning. This is a time out. Like Jesus said, he wanted to take the disciples to a place and where they could rest. They could take a time out. Well, our worship service is a time out. It's a time for us to reflect on what our Lord has said and then take that out into the world as people of God and serve as best we can. We don't always agree, as our confession said, about how we go about serving, or how we look at society, or how we look at the world. But there's one thing that we can agree on. We are the chosen people. And when we leave here, we go out into the world with something very special. With a word of hope. And a word that can remind not only us, but our friends and our neighbors and whoever else we come into contact with. If they're having a problem and they want to talk with us, we can say with all confidence, whatever's going on, Jesus is with you. We can feel that, and we can believe it, and we can share it. And to me, just to know that, that kind of brings everything together. And I hope it does for you too. This is our time of rest. Enjoy it. We're going to share the Lord's Supper with each other today. And what a day we have to worship. Everything comes together. And we leave as a happy people. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of our Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us to the gospel, to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers, to worship together and support one another, and invites us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nurtures our growth and preserves us in faith and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. You may be seated. Christ and sustained by the Spirit, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all of creation. Tend to your church, O God. Encourage bishops and pastors and deacons in their proclamation of the gospel. Raise up new leaders and encourage those pursuing a call to ministry. Embolden all the baptized to embody your love and justice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Restore your creation, O God. Sustain croplands and pastures, and safeguard all farm animals and livestock. Preserve lakes, rivers, and streams that offer refreshment. Revive lands recovering from natural disasters and protect coastlands threatened by rising oceans. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reconcile the nations, O God. Break down the dividing walls that make us strangers to one another and unite us as one human family. Equip leaders to deal wisely with conflict and guide diplomats who seek peaceful solutions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hear your people, O God. Look with compassion on immigrants, exiles, and all who are afraid or feel lost. Give rest to those who are weary, comfort to those who are grieving, and recovery to those who are ill, especially Michelle Loughran and Pastor Ken Durrell. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Nourish this congregation, O God. Prepare a table where we receive food for our hungry spirits. Renew our commitment to provide for one another and revitalize our ministries of feeding and nurturing hungry neighbors. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through those who seek candidates for a ministry and in the hearts of candidates as well. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You lead us home, O God. We give thanks for all who have died, now citizens with the saints. As you have received them into your heavenly home, so welcome all of us to dwell in your house forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We lift these and all our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We will now sing the communion song. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of sins." After the same manner, also, he took the cup. And when he had supped and given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink you all of this. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many. As often as you do this, your sins are forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me." Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Save us from time and trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Please come. The table is set. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto eternal life as we leave here as the chosen people of God.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.